We're going to start out talking about cancer and current treatments and modalities, and we're going to do that with a gentleman who is world-renowned and recognized in his field. He's been internationally renowned as an expert and opinion leader in the fields of gastrointestinal cancers and more, and he is with Carmonas, and we say good morning to Dr. Wasif Said. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, sir, and good morning to all the listeners.
Thanks for joining us this morning. To me, when we talk of cancer, I think the one that strikes the most fear into people is pancreatic cancer, and primarily because of its mortality rate. And correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the reasons for that is we often don't discover it until it's already stage four. Is that true?
Unfortunately, that is true, because pancreas is a deep-seated organ in the body, and the signs and symptoms of the cancer are very vague. And by the time the patient gets medical attention, it has already advanced and has metastasized to distant organs, most commonly liver.
Is there a test for pancreatic cancer that we take, a blood test or any kind of test at all?
At this time, there's no validated test to screen for pancreatic cancer. However, we do have some guidelines how to really look for the patient with a high risk, because patients with high risk can be screened just to make sure they don't develop pancreatic cancer, or if we find something, we can take it out very early. But unfortunately for an average risk patient, there's no guidelines approved by FDA at this time.
Well, let me ask this, because I know that Carmonas has functioned with proton therapy. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And is that not the kind of therapy that could address pancreatic cancer, where you really limit the damage to everything else and you only target the bad parts?
I think that's an excellent question, and I'm going to answer in detail. So the challenge part with pancreatic cancer is that pancreatic cancer is a systemic disease. What it means in a layman language, that even pancreatic cancer is found to be in the pancreas only and we take it out surgically, there is still a very high risk of cancer coming back. What it means that we believe that this is a disease, when it is found, probably has already microscopically gone to the distant organs. So proton therapy is a form of local therapy. So definitely, if a patient has localized disease, it can help the patient. But the challenge part in pancreatic cancer is that despite the local treatment, either a surgical resection, radiation therapy, or even proton therapy, the tumor grows into other parts of the body as metastasis. And I think that is one of the biggest challenges in pancreatic cancer. So even patient has a localized disease and they get surgical resection and everything is removed with negative margins, we still give those patients 4 to 2 drugs, cocktails of chemotherapies for up to 6 months' time to have a hope to prevent the cancer from coming back.
So let's talk about symptoms, because, you know, you mentioned pancreatic cancer isn't discovered till late stage. Are there symptoms that we should be aware of to be able to say, wow, I need to get checked out?
So again, the early symptoms for majority of the pancreatic cancer and many other GI tumors are vague. They're often mistaken for less cancer diseases, such as benign conditions. People think maybe somebody has reflux disease or acid disease, or they have irritable bowel syndrome. This only leads to delay in the diagnosis. But unfortunately, as you mentioned earlier, and I responded, that many are detected at an advanced stage. So the major symptoms of pancreatic cancer really include non-intentional weight loss, fatigue, loss of appetite. And as you know, that these symptoms can come with many other reasons. But patient can also develop jaundice, which is really the yellow discoloration of the skin or the eyes. More interestingly, we also found that sudden onset of diabetes is a harbinger for developing pancreatic cancer. If I go back to 20 years ago, when I was under training at the National Cancer Institute, we used to think about that patients with chronic diabetes mellitus or type 2 diabetes for more than 20 years or 10 years have an increased predisposition to develop pancreatic cancer. But over the last decade, we realized that it may be the harbinger for somebody to develop pancreatic cancer, because somebody who develops new onset diabetes with no family history and not obese that could be the cause of underlying pancreatic cancer. We also know that pancreatic cancer is a disease which is known to cause blood clots. And sometimes we see the patients who just come to the hospital, to the emergency department, with clots in different parts of the body. And when we further look into investigating that patient, then we found that they have a mass in the pancreas. So it is really a very, you know, odd disease, and that is the reason that mortality is so high, because it is very hard to catch at an early stage.
So what role does, let's say, age, gender, family history, what role does that play in terms of risk of pancreatic cancer?
So the biggest risk is age. The sad part is that, again, going back to historically, when we were taught pancreatic cancer 20-plus years ago, we used to think about it's a disease of old age. It really happened in the seventh decade. But for whatever reason, we are seeing this cancer developing even in patients at the age of 45, 38. So definitely there has been a change in the shift of onset of pancreatic cancer, but majority of the patients still are in the range of 60 to 70 years of age. As come to the gender, men are slightly more likely to develop pancreatic cancer than women. And then other factors also play an important role, such as family history or genetic syndromes.
And, you know, I'd asked earlier if there's some kind of a test. Does genetic testing help at all?
So, yes, genetic testing can help detect cancer by identifying inherited gene mutation that increase a person's risk, allowing for preventive measures and early screening. For those already diagnosed, genetic testing on the tumor itself can identify specific mutations that can guide us to provide personalized cancer treatment to those patients. The Cancer Genetic Counseling Service at Karmanos Cancer Institute provides genetic counseling and testing for patients throughout the Karmanos Cancer Network. That includes patients who are receiving care at our locations at McLaren Bay Region and McLaren Flint, and more. You can simply ask your oncologist or care team about genetics counseling. You can ask them, and they can connect you to the genetic counseling. So let me just again clarify, because this is a very common question that patients ask. Even yesterday, a patient asked me when I talked to them that I'm going to send blood and the tissue for genetic testing. And the patient's daughter immediately asked, will that tell me that I have a highest risk? I think it is important for me to really differentiate between one is genetic inherited causes for pancreatic cancer. So that's genetic counseling and genetic testing for that purpose. But when we are doing genetic testing called NGS, next generation genome sequencing, we are really looking for those abnormalities which are found in the tissue or in the blood, which can help us to guide targeted treatment to the cancer patients. Now, going back to an example of genetic testing, which can allow, so for example, if a patient is found to have breast cancer gene 1 or 2, which is usually called BRCA1 and BRCA2, then those patients are the high-risk patients, because these patients are at a higher risk to develop breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and pancreatic cancer. And then we need to screen those patients with specific diagnostic tools for all these three tumors.
Do you have to be referred for that testing, or can someone just call Karmanos and say, I'd like to be tested?
You know, again, it is very variable, because a lot of these things are dependable on the patient's insurance. I do see patients with high risk. When I was working at previous institution, I was running a pancreatic sport, which is the highest grant from the NCI to do research on a particular cancer, and I was working with major institutions. So at that time, we start developing a cluster of familial pancreatic cancer and genetic or high-risk patients. So since I moved to Karmanos Cancer Institute about a year and a half ago, I'm very open and welcoming any patient or any person who reach out to me and say, you know, my sister is diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I'm very anxious. I would like somebody to figure out. So then I'm happy to see those patients as long as their insurance allows to see us. And I think that way I can talk to them, guide them. I can start the initiative, genetic testing, and then refer them to a genetic counselor. Or secondly, they can ask their PCP, and they can also refer to them to the genetic counseling in the Karmanos Cancer System or the McLaren Health System. So it's really based on, you know, what makes somebody comfortable, what is more available to them, and their level of concern that can also dictate that where they should go first.
So when we talk about pancreatic cancer, some things you can change in your life, others you can't. For example, is there a hereditary factor, and Is there a lifestyle factor? And I can change my lifestyle. I can't change my heredity. What about those, and what kind of changes to lifestyle should someone make?
That is an excellent question, because I define them as modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors. So the modifiable risk factors for pancreatic cancer include smoking. So American Cancer Society reports that about 25% of the pancreatic cancers are thought to be caused by cigarette smoking. Alcoholism is also related to causation of pancreatic cancer, either directly or because of it causes chronic pancreatitis. Being overweight is also a risk factor for pancreatic cancer. I talked about the diabetes, and I think when I give presentation, I always say the relationship between diabetes and pancreatic cancer is like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? So I think we talked about earlier. And then also patients who have chronic pancreatitis, including alcoholism, those patients are also at a higher risk of developing pancreatic cancer. So I think these are the modifiable thing by really cutting down or stopping the smoking, reducing your alcohol intake, doing some exercise, making sure you're not obese, and making sure also to include fruits and vegetables in your diet and decrease in red meat. Now, when it comes to non-modifiable risk factors, then of course there are many genetic syndromes which are known to be associated with the development of pancreatic cancer. The specific hereditary syndromes I told you first is the BRCA1 and the BRCA2, which is a breast cancer gene 1 and 2. Then there is a Peutz-Jeghers syndrome, Lynch syndrome, which is a syndrome which really develops pancreatic cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer. Then also there is a hereditary pancreatitis, and there's a syndrome called FAM syndrome, which is familial atypical multiple mole melanoma, which means these patients have multiple moles, and also they develop melanoma, and also they can develop pancreatic cancer. I think the key element, again, to give some kind of hope in this context, that if somebody has BRCA1 and BRCA2, we have drugs approved by FDA for those patients. So if somebody has pancreatic cancer and they are found to have BRCA1 or BRCA2, there are specific drugs called PARP inhibitors, which have shown to benefit these patients, which is an oral medication to be given to these patients. So after patient receive initial months of chemotherapy, then instead of continuing chemotherapy indefinitely, those patients can be placed on those oral medication which are beneficial in patients with BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutation. Similarly, if somebody has Lynch syndrome, or in other words, we call microsatellite instability high, those patients can benefit from immunotherapy. And at the same time, I think this is an important factor to keep in mind. In addition to that one, there's also a strong family history. People with two or more first-degree relatives, such as parent, sibling, or child, who have been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer are also at a higher risk. So as you can see, that there is almost like a two clusters of genetic syndrome. One is the genetic known risk factors, and second is the familial history, which is also very important, where we may not be at this time know the gene causing that pancreatic cancer in those family members.
So, Dr. Saif, if someone wants more information on the Karmanis Cancer Network and the whole system, where can they go? Is there a website?
Yes, so there are websites for Karmanis. So I think, first of all, to see somebody, the Karmanis Cancer Network is a system of 17 treatment locations. They're all anchored by the Barbara and Karmanis Cancer Institute, which is headquartered in Detroit, which, you know, is a national cancer, comprehensive cancer center. And most of the Karmanis Cancer Institute centers are located near McLaren Hospitals. For locations near your listeners, they are located near McLaren Thumb, Bay Region, Flint, Lapeer Region, Central Michigan, and Port Huron. So they can go to the website karmanis.org. I think that will be the easy way. Or secondly, they can call us, and we'll be happy to guide them in the right direction.
Well, doctor, listen, I want to thank you for your time this morning, and let's hope that not too far down the road, research comes up with a better solution for pancreatic cancer. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for being with us.
Wish you happy holidays.
Yes, same to you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.